Okay, good evening, everybody. For the ladies here and for the whoever's on the phone, good evening, and for the viewers at home. Just one second. Rabbanit Chana, איפה היא? תקריא לרגע איך שמשתיקים את זה פה כי שומעים את האנשים ברקע. Today is Erev Rosh Chodesh, so Chodesh Tov, this is the happiest month in the year, Rosh Chodesh Adar. אם את יכולה רק להשתיק את ה... שומעים את האנשים ברקע. שומעים את האנשים שמדברים.
את יכולה... שכחתם משתיקים. Let me just mute you, all of you. I'm so sorry.
ברוך השם. ברוך השם. So, good evening again, everybody. And today we're going to speak about the most important thing that Hashem wants us to be, is to be בשמחה. To be happy all the time. And what not better night is by today, Rosh Chodesh Av. My name is Rabbi Alon Anava. Adar. See? The ultimate simcha is going to be in Rosh Chodesh Adar.
Av.
This is my fourth shiur today. I'm already... Because we have the viewers, the listeners on the phone, we're going to do it in English. Later on, we're going to unmute it. Later on, we're going to have questions and answers if you want. And we're going to speak for about half an hour, 45 minutes. Then you're going to continue with the challah. Then I'll come back, and if wherever you want any questions, you can feel free to ask. We can stay here for as much as you can. Finish the challah. Then we're going to eat it, Bezrat Hashem. So again, my name is Alon Anava, Rabbi Alon Anava. And tonight, I'm just going to speak in a very short way about the whole concept, how important it is for us to be besimcha. It says, כשנכנס אדר מרבים בשמחה. Which means that when the Chodesh of Adar comes, starts, we have to increase happiness. What kind of a weird thing is that? Why should I increase happiness all year round? Why dafka now? The commandment is that we ivdu et Hashem besimcha. We have to serve Hashem besimcha. If we don't serve Hashem besimcha, we're missing the fuel for all our mitzvot. You can have the nicest car. If you don't put fuel in the car will not drive. Most people, especially in our generation, they have an issue with simcha. One person is suffering, has a problem with his wife or his husband. One doesn't have a wife or a husband. One has problem with the kids. One has problems with parnasha. Everybody has a problem. Everybody in our generation has a little sack of their own problems. Everybody thinks their problems is the biggest than everybody's. And everybody has a lot of complaints to Hashem. Why? Why do I have to struggle so much? The thing is that there's a reason why we have to struggle. We're going to get to that soon. The main thing is to understand, in order to fix a problem, you have to know where the problem starts. If you don't know where the problem starts, you can't fix it. If you have a headache, then you know what you need to take a pill to pass the headache. So whatever problem you have, in order to fix it, you have to know the source of it. So we first have to understand what is the source that one doesn't have simcha, doesn't have happiness. And the source, what causes a person not to have. To say, oh, the Torah says, if you do it Hashem besimcha, then it's very easy. But it's not an easy thing. We all have a struggle in ourselves that it's hard for us to serve Hashem besimcha. Now we know, our sages teach us, that Hashem does not put anyone in a situation that he don't know how to deal with it. Which means if Hashem already put you in a situation, means that you have the tools and the ability to deal with it. Now you just have to figure out why. But we see in many places in the Torah that it tells us that we have to serve Hashem besimcha. Ekev asher lo avatem et Hashem besimcha v'tuv levav. You have to work Hashem besimcha. We see in our history that all the prophets, all the Nevi'im, always got their Nevuah when they were in Simcha. Starting from Yitzchak, starting from Yaakov. We know the first famous story that Yaakov Avinu, 17 years, we just read it a few weeks ago in the Parashah, 17 years he was Betza'ar. He was the opposite of happiness. He was mourning the fact that his son is not with him. And all this time, נסתלקה ממנו השכינה. He didn't have any connection to his godly powers because he was not בשמחה. בפנימיות העניינים, in the inner part of it, the mystic part of it, because, you know, according to the reveal part, the pshat, his son was taken and he was his favorite son, so he was mourning. But what our forefather, the Bechir Shebaavot, the best of them, Yaakov Avinu, did not know what happened. Such a prophet, he couldn't know what happened. Of course he knew. Just that the problem was in the spiritual level. Yaakov Avinu in the Sefirot was Tiferet. He was the last Sefira of what's called the Mochin, and he needed what's called all the rest of the Midot, what is called in the Lashon of the Kabbalah, Zeir Anpin, in order to connect to the Malchut, to have his prophecy. Yosef in the Sefirot is the Yesod. Once the Zeir Anpin did not have the Yesod, he couldn't connect to the Malchut. The reason why I'm telling you that, because I want to touch the spiritual part of the whole point of the Simcha. But for more examples, we know all the Nevi'im, all the prophets in our history only reached the level of prophecy when there were Simcha. The famous Arizal, all his Giluim was only when he was Besimcha. Only Besimcha. Most of his Nevuot, most of his Giluim was on Shabbat. Because on Shabbat he was able to have the most hit'alut, the most simcha, and the more he had it, the more giluim he got. All the Nevi'im, any Nevi, any prophet, you see that they got their level of nevuah, of prophecy, when they reached the level of simcha. We had 7 women prophets. One of them is the famous one, Dvorah Nevi'ah. If you see of all the prophets, the women prophets, they always were singing. Miriam and Dvorah, everything was singing. Because in order for them to reach this level of Nevoah, they had to be constantly besimcha. So not to go too much on that, but we know from many, many sources that in order for me to reach the level of the ultimate Avodat Hashem, I have to be besimcha. I have to be constantly happy. That's why the other side of Kedusha always comes to, how do they call it here in America? To be the party pooper. The one who comes to tears it down. Because when you are not besimcha, when you are be'atzvut, then nothing works. So this is the concept that I'm sure you all know. We have to be besimcha. But why do we get to the point that we're not? Where does it originate? Because if I'm going to know where the source of the problem, I'll be able to change it, and then I kind of solve the problem. Before we even get to that, every person in this generation has a problem. We're all dealing with problems. There's a famous story that there was once an old man, very, very God-fearing old man, Yerei Shamayim, all his life was running after Torah and mitzvot, and everything, his entire life was devoted to Hashem. But any problem you can just think of happened to him. Never had money, always had problems, everything was hard, his entire life was hard. One day he gets run over. Shem Yerachem. He goes up to Shamayim. He dies, he goes up to Shamayim. He goes straight to Hashem and he tells him, "I don't understand. I did everything you told me to do. I prayed 3 times a day. I kept Shabbat. I ate kasher. I studied Torah. I sent my kids to yeshiva. What do you want from me? Why was my life so hard?" So Hashem tells him, "Why? What are you saying?" So the man tells him, "I want a good life. I want you to send me back down. And I want to have a good life." So Hashem says, "No problem. I'll give you the option. But you know, everybody in this world has to have problems. So go to the room there at the end of the corridor. There's a door. Knock on the door. An angel will open you the door. Tell him I sent you. And tell him that you came to choose your sack of problems." He goes to the end of the corridor. Sure enough, opens the door. Stands there, a beautiful angel. He tells the angel, "The boss sent me to choose some problems." So he tells him, "Bakasha, come in. Walk around." So he walks into this huge room that looks like Home Depot. a lot of aisles, tall shelves. He's walking through the shelves, and all he sees all over the shelves is big sacks. Chavilot, big sacks. And he's going, and he's going, and the angel tells him, you choose whatever you want, and you tell me which one you want. And he's running through all the aisles, and he sees big sacks and smaller sacks, and he's like, this time, I'm going to make sure that I don't have any problems. Finally, after a couple hours of running, he sees in the corner, on the last shelf, a little bag like this. He's like, oh, I want that one. He runs to the bag, he grabs the bag, runs to the angel, tells him, I want this bag. So the angel writes down the serial number, tells him, okay, go to the boss, tell him which one you want. He walks all happy with his bag. Now he's convinced he's going to have a good life. He comes to Hashem and he tells him, this is the sack I chose. So what does Hashem tell him? Oh, I see you choose your own sack. So each one of us has problems. The thing is that we make them look big. We make our problems look like a mountain, and we are the ones who make the michshol, the stumble. I can't go over this mountain. It's too big for me. The problem is the famous cliche, if you look at the empty half of the cup or the full cup, full part of the cup. If you look at all your problems, then of course they'll be big. If you look at all your blessings, your problems are not so important. So now that we know that everybody has problems, and we know that our main thing in this world is to be besimcha, how do I bypass it? Because I understand the commandment, if you do it, Hashem besimcha. Give me $1 million, and my husband and wife and kids and everything, I'm not going to have an issue serving Hashem besimcha. But if you give me problems, how do you expect me to serve you besimcha? This is not a fair commandment. So the issue is like this. In the physical level, everything looks one way. This is a very physical world. The world, technically, the physicality of the world does not exist. We make it exist. The reality is that the world has this illusion, has a godly power that enlivens everything. We know, according to Kabbalah, that everything in this world has what's called a nefesh, nefesh chaya, even a rock, has a godly power that enlivens this thing constantly. Even the lowest things in creations. We think only humans have a nefesh. Some people think that only animals might have a nefesh. But we know that also trees have nefesh. We know that even stones have nefesh. Everything has a nefesh. A nefesh is a godly power that constantly enlivens everything. Now there's a main inyan in Kabbalah that it says, Ma'mala mala nofel mata mata. What originates from the highest place falls down to the lowest place. And there's a parable to kind of explain it. Imagine you take now a very tall wall built from bricks and you push the wall. So what will happen? The bricks that are on the bottom will fall maybe a couple inches, and the bricks that are on the top will go the furthest away. This is the Indian of Mamala Mala Nofel Mata Mata. What comes from the highest place falls to the lowest place. So we see from that that Dafka inanimates in this world, their Chayut Eloki, the godly force, comes from a much higher place, to a point that even some of the Gedolim of the Hasidic philosophy, they explain that something like a rock is such a high level of godly revelation that it actually sees Elokut, that it stands still. It can't move. Like the Srafim, the Ofanei HaKodesh, all the high angels, they just see Hashem, they freeze, they can't move. From what's called Yir'at HaRomemut, this fear, it's not a fear from being afraid, rather this awe. So we learn that Dafka, the inanimate stones and minerals, they come from such a high level that when they see godly revelation, they're just still, they can't move. That's why we see them as something that is still, that doesn't move. But in essence, everything has what's called the chayut elokit. Same thing in our body. Our body is built from a physical body. We have bones, we have organs, blood, everything that's going on in our body. And we have the spiritual part that enlivens the body. We know that we have in our soul five levels of our soul. The highest level is called Yechida. A lower level is called Chaya. These two parts of our neshama are way beyond our understanding what they are. We don't have any connection to them in this world. Maybe we'll have a connection to them in the world to come. It's a very high level of our neshama. The three lower ones is called neshama, ruach, and nefesh. Kill me, I don't even know how to translate it in English. Neshama is the soul, ruach is the spirit, nefesh is the godly power that enlivens the guf, the body. The nefesh separates into two types of nefeshot. There's a nefesh elokit, the godly nefesh, and the nefesh behemit, the physical nefesh. It's called behemit from the word behema, animal, not because it's a cow, rather that its characters are like an animal. It likes to eat, it likes to sleep, it likes to have physical enjoyments like an animal. Same way that in the physical level, all the animals, they have their heads down. They get their food from the ground. Very few animals maybe lift up their heads. Humans, their heads is up because we constantly look up to Shamayim to get our food. Animals constantly look down. This animal soul constantly battles the godly soul. Now, the way it works in our body, every organ in our body corresponds to one positive mitzvah. We have 248 limbs. It corresponds to the 248 positive mitzvot. Our nefesh has 248 kochot ha-nefesh, powers of our nefesh that spread all around our body. The Torah teaches us that the nefesh is the blood, which means every part of our body we have hitpashtut ha-nefesh, the spreading of the nefesh. Any place in your body you're going to poke, blood will come out. So we know that the nefesh, ki ha-nefesh hi ha-dam. That's how we learn that the dam, the nefesh is our blood. Ask a doctor, he will tell you that our blood has a warmth to it. And our blood constantly bubbles in our body. When a person is very, very sick, either he loses temperature of the blood, or either the temperature rises. When they rise, it just becomes more sick. When they lose temperature, that's already close to death. When a person, chas v'shalom, dies, that's it. There's no nefesh in the body. The blood cools down. Ask a doctor, he will tell you that the blood constantly bubbles in our body. The vapor that goes out from the blood, take a pot, put it on the stove, put some water and start boiling it, they'll start being vapors. Let it boil for a while, it will burn all the water. Why? Because it evaporates. But where did it go? We're not going to do a class in physics, but the water vaporates and becomes in the air. But you see the vapor that's going up, this is the in-between between the physical, that you can see the water, and the spiritual that becomes the air, the ruach. So you see the vapor. But once it elevates to the spiritual, you don't see it anymore. Where does it go? Ask a physicist, he will tell you, it goes up to the shamayim, to the rakia, where the gas is. The same thing is in our body. In our blood is the nefesh. Mishkan ha-nefesh hu adam. This is where the nefesh dwells, constantly enlivening the body. Since our body, our blood constantly bubbles, it creates this vapor. In this vapor is the connection between the physical and the spiritual. This is exactly where it all happens. The spiritual is the nefesh elokit. Nefesh elokit, exactly how it sounds. It's a nefesh that only wants to serve Hashem. It wants to pray. It wants to do mitzvot. It wants to keep Shabbat. It doesn't want to steal. It doesn't want to say lashon hara. It's a tzaddik. It's a nefesh of tzaddik. There's a Mishnah, a famous Mishnah that says before the soul takes its leap down to the world, It says משביעים אותו שתהיה צדיק ואל תהיה רשע. Which means, ועמך כולם צדיקים, הנשמה היא זה נשמה של צדיק. So this נפש האלוקית only wants to serve God. But then comes the other tenant, the נפש הבהמית, and doesn't want to serve God. The נפש האלוקית says, come, let's go to a Torah class. The נפש הבהמית says, no, let's go watch the football game. The נפש האלוקית says, let's go to pray right now. No, let's sleep in a little bit. There's constantly a battle in our body. So as I was saying before, this vapor in the blood is the Mishkan HaNefesh, where the Nefesh dwells. If you ask a doctor, and you'll tell the doctor, what happens when there's a heart problem, if the heart is not functioning the right way, meaning that the pumping, the in or out, the pumping of the blood is not working right, you lose blood pressure, you can lose blood count, you have all sorts of different problems. Because the source of our life is our heart. The same way that if chas v'shalom somebody has a problem with their heart, it affects somewhere in the body. So it's the same thing in the spiritual level. So if in the physical level I have a problem in my heart, meaning that one organ is not getting enough blood for whatever reason, because the blood is pumping in a certain amount of power, to have the blood going. First of all, the heart renews the blood, but the blood reaches everywhere in the body, which means every piece of my body gets a how would you say it in English? Like reborn power. Now, if chas v'shalom something's wrong with my heart, then one organ will not get its chayut, and then the person will have some type of a sickness. We can see from that that many of our sicknesses become and originate from the spiritual level. Because I have 248 positive mitzvot that I have to do. If I'm lacking one of them, meaning that I'm not supporting and I'm not feeding this particular power in my nefesh, I'm not giving it its sustenance, I'm not giving it its food, then it basically starts coming down, what's called Seder Hishtalshelut. It starts coming down to this world and it transform into the physical. Which means if I have some type of a problem, if I have a problem in a certain organ, means that the sickness started in a spiritual deficiency and it just came down into the body as a sickness. So when a person is as much as possible fulfilling the mitzvot, he has much less physical sicknesses. Bechlal, you will see that the more the person is sanctifying himself, then he's reducing sicknesses. So, since our body behaves in a certain way, when we're not going to do a whole shiur about the behavior of the body, but the body is a manifestation of how this nefesh conducts itself in the body. Which means if I conduct my body in a healthy way, I eat healthy, I sleep, I exercise, then, you know, it should be that my body would be healthy and I'm not going to be tired and I'm not going to suffer from all sorts of problems. Same thing with our nefesh. If I feed my nefesh exactly what it needs, the same way that the physical body needs to get its vitamins and minerals, and you have to eat fruit and vegetables and you have to have fish and meat, and I'm not a dietitian, but you have to have everything. You cannot sustain yourself just on oranges or just on bread. Same thing with our nefesh. Our nefesh needs to be injected with this godly vitamin, which are the mitzvot, in order for my nefesh to be chaya, to be alive. Once my nefesh is alive, then it will trickle down to my body and it will enliven all the organs in my body. The thing is that we know that our heart, according to nature, has two chambers. The right chamber is where the neshama is. The left chamber is where the nefesh ha-behemit is. This is the mishkan, where it dwells. Now, nachon, we know the neshama is all over the body. It's not that it's one place. It's almost like saying, you know, umloch ol ha'aretz kevodo, Hashem is everywhere. But one time, one person can say, oh, you know, but we see that in a synagogue, there's more kedusha. Or next to the Sefer Torah, there's even more kedusha. And in Eretz Yisrael, there's even more kedusha. And then you go to Yerushalayim, more kedusha. Close to Beit HaMikdash, more. So how can you tell me that Hashem is everywhere if you're telling me here is more and here is less? You can't compare the Kedusha that is in a synagogue where you have holy books and Sifrei Torah and prayers, and then you walk 10 feet away, there's a toilet, and oh, there's Makom Tumah, there's nothing there. So how can you say Hashem is everywhere? So in technical, yeah, Hashem is everywhere. Some places it's more revealed, some places it's less revealed. In a synagogue, in a Bet Midrash, in a yeshiva, in Yerushalayim, in different places, the godliness is more revealed. Same thing with our body. Our soul is all around the body. Some places it's more revealed. For example, we know that the neshama, the part of the neshama, not the ruach or the nefesh, is in the head. But the nefesh is all around the body. But we know that the mishkan and neshama is also in the right chamber of our heart. The left chamber of our heart is the nefesh habeemit. Now here comes the source of all the problems. If I eat in this world bad food, and I do anything that I can to damage my body, I smoke, I drink alcohol, I take drugs, whatever. Whatever I do to damage my body, I'm going to live like that. If I smoke, I'm going to be coughing all day long. I eat bad food, I'm going to have aches all day long. I don't exercise, I can barely move. However I treat my body in this world, that's, you know, simple biology. You damage your body, you're going to be sick. It's very simple. Same thing in the spiritual. If I don't feed my soul what it needs, the soul becomes sick. And my soul needs Torah, and my soul needs mitzvot, and my soul needs kedusha, holiness, and my soul needs food. If I feed my soul what it needs, then the chances it will be sick are much, much less. The same way that if chas v'shalom, there's going to be a deficiency in my heart, it would affect the body and the body will become sick. Same thing with our soul. If I don't feed my neshama constantly what it needs, then it will affect the rest of the part of the neshama. Here, it can affect two ways. One, it can manifestate into the body. So if one koach of the nefesh, one power of the nefesh, does not get its power, so the part of the body that gets its chayut, its life, from this part of the nefesh, will become sick. So one person will have problems with his hands, one person will have problems with his kidney, each one has different problems. For example, not too long ago, my mom started having problems with her wrists in her hand. And she went to all the doctors in the world. Anyone that she went to could not solve the problem. They told her, we can't see anything, we don't know what's the problem. So then she turned to me, hoping I can come up with some hocus pocus. And I told her, you know what? Let's put it to the test. If your wrists are hurting, might be that you're lacking mitzvot that have to do with your hands. So I told her, you know what? Do you wash your hands in the morning? Do you do netilat yadayim, negel vosel, mamash? Yeah, but you know, I do it like at 11. I told her, no, in the morning. You have to do it right when you wake up, not 2 hours later. The hands have such impurity on them in the morning. In two words, 2 weeks ago we did a class about Kriyat Shema Lamita that explains it. But when we go to sleep, our soul leaves our body. And the soul goes up to Shamayim. It goes up to Shamayim to give a din v'cheshbon, has to give an accounting. It writes a journal, what it did the whole day. So after 120 years, when the soul goes up to Shamayim, they tell the soul, oh, you wrote yourself what you did. The soul goes up to testify in other court cases of other souls. More than that, the soul, the same way that at the end of the day your cell phone ran out of battery, you plug it in to charge at the end of the night, you wake up in the morning, the phone is full, so you need to charge your soul. Now what happens is when the soul leaves the body, then all the other side of impurity, all sorts of spirits and angels and Hashem only knows what, it comes to attack the body. Because the Gemara gives a beautiful example. If you take now a bucket full of honey and you pour the bucket of honey out, you empty the bucket. then the whole bucket is full of honey. So what will come to the bucket? All sorts of bees and flies and all sorts of, bugs. But if you do the same thing, a bucket full of sand, and you pour the sand, nothing will come because there's nothing to enjoy. There's nothing to lick. So when the soul leaves the body, all these chitzonim, all these spirits, they come to the body and they want to linok, to suck from the kedusha. Now if the person is shomer Torah and mitzvot, that's a big fish. If chas v'shalom the person is rasha, nicha. But if somebody did one mitzvah that day, this is a good meat for these chitzonim to come. The Kabbalah calls it chitzonim. Chitzoni is something that it's from the outside, that it can't go in. So they come and attack the body. And what happens is in the morning when the soul comes back into the body, then it has a tenant in the body. I always give the same example. Take a beautiful house. You go to a vacation. If you leave the house all open, robbers will come to rob the house. It's very simple. You leave a beautiful house, even if the house is not so beautiful, you lock the doors, you lock the windows, you put the bars on, you put the alarm on. But the problem is, what happens when the robbers come to the house, they see a beautiful house, and they're like, why should we empty the house? Let's just stay here. It's a nice house. And then the person comes back from his vacation, and he sees a bunch of robbers sitting in his house. Now, according to nature, he will call the police. But in the spiritual level, when I leave my body lying on the bed at night with no guards, then all these spirits go into my body, and they suck this Kedusha, this holiness, and then when I come back in the morning, they don't want to leave. So I have a tenant. I have many tenants, and they're in my body. That's mainly what brings in our generation all the phobias and fears and anxieties and all these things comes from that. So what happens is it brings a lot of impurity on the body. When the person wakes up in the morning, even if he said Kriyat Shema Lamidah, there's a lot of impurity on the hands. The Arizal says even not to walk even four steps and to wash their hands right next to their bed. The right way to do it, if you really want, is you do, first of all, and most important, to say Kriyat Shema Lamidah, to say the whole thing, not just to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Echad. That's a shortcut, to say the entire thing. If you would know the ma'alot, the virtues of saying Kriyat Shema Lamita, you would spend all your time, the whole 10 minutes that it takes to say Kriyat Shema Lamita. But you wake up in the morning, you put a bucket next to your bed with this cup, you wash your hands right away, you say Modi and wash your hands, you walk a little bit to the first available sink and you wash it again, then you can say already say it with a bracha. So I told my mom, do you wash your hands in the morning? Oh yeah. Told her, when? Oh, no, at 11. I told her, okay, so from now you're going to start washing it in the morning. I told her, what else do you do with your hands? Do you give it to charity? Yeah, once a month I send a check here and a check there. Told her, no. Take a little pushka, a little kupat tzedakah, and every day put in, she lives in Eretz Yisrael, I told her, put in a shekel. Doesn't have to be a lot. It's just the act of putting the tzedakah. Sure enough, the hocus pocus worked. After a month, no problems, no issues, no problems with the wrists anymore. Just two simple things. Doing a little act with your hand and a little act with washing your hands. Never mind, I also told you to wash your hands after bathroom, wash your hands after you touch your hair, when you touch your shoes. You have to know what you do. But why am I giving you this example? Because every little thing that I bring on myself in the holy realm, it affects the body. It's very simple. Now here comes the biggest question. Oh, you know, I see so many people that are very, very religious and they're still sick. How do you explain that? If you're saying that if I feed my soul 100% its food, then everything will be okay. So the ultimate answer, which is not a good answer, is because that's what Hashem wants. In essence, you can sometimes look at a person who looks very religious, but you don't know what's going on inside. More than that, a person can be paying in this world for something from a previous life. So you can't really point at something or somebody and say, oh, you told me A, and here it's not working. We don't know how it works exactly. But all this hakdama is to understand something very, very simple. What I feed my neshama, that's how the neshama will split out. So in this world, everything is physical. We don't really see what's going on. We have to look at it more in the spiritual part of this world. And in essence, our soul is the most happiest being ever. Great big question in the Gemara, in the Talmud, what are the souls doing in Gan Eden? They're watching TV, what are they doing there? Why, you know, if you want me to work to get there, give me some information that it will be tempting, so I will want to go there. What does the Gemara say? That the souls are sitting in Gan Eden, ve'atrotehen berashehen, they're sitting with crowns, ve'nehenim miziv ha'shchina. That's what you're giving me. Give me something interesting. Mazenehenim ha'shchina. I don't even understand what it means. The thing is that the souls that are sitting now in Gan Eden, they're just, Gan Eden is a very temporary place. The souls that are in Gan Eden are just waiting for the times of Mashiach, and then we'll go to Olam Haba, and then it's when we get the Sakhar. Gan Eden is like the lobby. But the thing is, what they do there, they see godly revelation, and all they have from it is pleasure. So the soul, by default, is happy. The soul constantly is besimcha. What does it mean, ivdu et Hashem besimcha? That I'll run to shul singing? That's not ivdu et Hashem besimcha. The soul is already, by default, besimcha. It means that I have to feed my soul so I can bring out from my soul my kochot and nefesh outside. Ivdu et Hashem besimcha is not to stand in shul and be like, that's not ivdu et Hashem besimcha. Lachon, it's good to have a good spirit and to sing or to dance or whatever makes you happy. Nachon, you have to do whatever it takes to bring you to this level. Because you can bring yourself to a level of happiness. You do what you like, you have a hobby, you do it. Last week I was in a class, a woman came and told me, and she's like, you know, since I stopped doing my art, I'm very heavy and it's very hard for me to serve Hashem. But I feel that the art, it's not holy, and maybe it's I should go to a class instead. I told her, look what you're saying. You stopped doing your art, and you're saying that you became heavy and it was harder for you to serve Hashem. Yes, yeah, sometimes you have to go out a little bit from the line in order to gain a lot of power so you can come back. So one person does it with their art, one person will do it with sport, one person will do it with it, doesn't matter. Sometimes you need to go out, get some fresh air, and come back. Each person has to feed their soul according to what their soul needs. So we do have ways in this world to enliven our simcha. But that's not the essence of Ivdu et Hashem besimcha. Hashem tells us the soul by default is in happiness, is happy. If you look now at the fire, take a candle, you'll see that the flame constantly is trying to go up. We know according to the mysticism that the source of the fire is under the moon, so any flame in this world will constantly want to go up to its source. But if you look at the fire, it constantly goes up, and it's kind of like moving, kind of like dancing. If you want to meditate on a candle, you'll see the candle is very harmonically dancing. We know there's a pasuk that says, Ner Havaya Nishmat Adam. The candle of God is the soul of the person. Meaning that our soul is compared to a flame. Same way that our flame, that our soul, the flame constantly wants to burn and to go up to its source, then our neshama constantly is yearning to go up to its source, which is Hashem. So by default, my soul is besimcha, is happiness. It wants to serve Hashem besimcha. But now I'm in the body, and the soul came into the body, into a very coarse body, and if I don't make my mishkan holy, then my body becomes even more coarse. If chas v'shalom I eat anything that is not kosher, it makes my body even more coarse. If I chas v'shalom lie, speak lashon hara, anything that comes out of my mouth, it makes my body even more coarse. You see that the big tzaddikim, the great tzaddikim, forget about not lying, lashon hara, stuff like that, barely put things in their mouth. Because one little dot of something that is not pure, then it contaminates the entire body. I had a whole discussion 2 weeks ago with a group of religious people, and I was telling them how important Chalav Yisrael is. And they're like, no, and giving me all the tirutzim why Chalav Yisrael is not important. I told them, look, I don't make up things. The Arizal says very clearly, "Chalav akum metamtemet asechel." That's it. Milk that is not Chalav Israel makes your mind not metumtam, like stupid. Metamtem makes you not focused. So what happens? You come to do a certain mitzvah, and you're like, "Ah, okay, that's not so important." You know we have 18 minutes before we light the candles on Shabbat. How many times people say, "Ah, okay, I have the 18 minutes," but then it goes to 19 minutes, and then it goes to 20 minutes. Ah, it's okay, too, guys. Still see light outside. It's fine. All these, it's fine. This is the timtum asechel. And if each one of you look inside themselves, really, they'll see that half the things you do is the it's fine, it's okay. These it's fine. This comes from a little, very thin, what's called bedakut, purity. The more a person purifies himself, the more the nefesh is pure, the more everything is easier. So the easy part to explain it is that when a person sanctifies himself with Torah and mitzvot, then by default, the nefesh becomes more tahor, more pure, the body becomes more pure. So if I'm very particular with kosher, every little thing, because it's very easy to say, that's not so important. I don't have to wait really 6 hours on the dot. 5 hours and 50 minutes is fine. No, if Chachamim said 6 hours or 1 hour or whatever, there's a reason for that. The more you are particular, the more you bring Kedusha on your body. So much more so in the things that are less tangible. I'm talking here about kosher because everything starts with what I eat. If you really want to purify yourself, you start with kosher. You'll be very strict with kosher. But all the things that are less tangible, like my mouth, my eyes, my thoughts, the more a person purifies himself, by default it will affect the body. The body will be more, or should I say, less coarse. By default, things are going to be much more smoother. So going back to the beginning, to convince myself to be besimcha, to be happy, that's not a good solution. To walk around and have fake happiness, that's not a solution. The way for me to reach the real happiness is if I give my soul what it needs. And my soul needs Torah and mitzvot. And when I'm going to purify my soul, then by default, things that look so big are not going to be so big. They're going to be like, it's not so big. And by default, there's a rule in physics, but Chassidut explains it very in depth, that a little bit of light diminishes a lot of darkness. Turn now all the lights in this room. We're going to be complete pitch dark. Bring a little candle, that's it. The light, one. Even though it's a very low light, but there's no darkness anymore. Which means it's a little bit of lightness, a little bit of light diminishes a lot of darkness. Same thing in our body. Anything that I will put into my body, even the smallest part, a little bit of one mitzvah, two mitzvot, I already diminish a lot of darkness because I increase the light. The more that I increase the light, the more that I kill the darkness. It's very, very simple. The main essence why a person is not happy is not because they don't have money, or chas v'shalom, something wrong went, or they can't find their other half, or their other half is not what they wanted, or. That's not the reasons why people are not happy. The main reason why the person is not happy is because the soul is not happy. That is it. It's not how much money you have in your bank account. It's not anything around in the Gashmiut. The Gashmiut is nothing. A person can have nothing and be the most happiest person in the world. There's a great story that a couple Hasidim, they wanted to really know what it means to serve Hashem b'simcha and to appreciate every little thing. So they went to a great tzaddik, and he told them, I'm not the right person to tell you. Go and visit. There's a certain person. He lives in this and that village. Go and visit him. And they come and they see this poor village. They see this like little house. They're like, what? Somebody actually lives in this house? They walk in. They see such a broken house. Barely any floors. Nothing. barely any food, and they're telling this other tzaddik, you know, we were sent to you so we can see what it means lekabel et ha'yisurim ba'ava, to accept the yisurim, the suffering, with love. Tells them, me? I don't even know what you're talking about. He sent you to the wrong place. You should go to somebody who has yisurim. I never had yisurim. And by that, they're like, okay, we got the point. Later on, he was like, you want to stay here for a meal? They're like, okay, we'll do a kibud. So the wife made like soup. Well, wasn't really a soup. It was like a little bit of water and like half a potato in it. And they were like, he gave it to them with these heavy bowls of metal. They were like looking at the metal. He's like, you want it? I'll give it to you. It's okay. You can take it. They're like, no. They were just shocked how he's so poor, but he's so besimcha. He didn't see his poverty and his suffering as any suffering. The thing is that we feed our mind that our situation and our life is hard. It's actually not our fault. Before I told you that we have two souls in our body. We have a nefesh be'emit and a nefesh elokit. A nefesh elokit, the godly soul, just wants to do two mitzvot. But the physical soul, it wants to eat, it wants to sleep, it wants to enjoy the physicality. So what happens is, they constantly fight like two boxers. If one is stronger than the other, then the one who's stronger, he's behit gabrut, he's overpowering. How we say, reading the Torah, le'om me'le'om yamatz, when somebody is a little bit stronger, the opponent is stronger, then the other one is losing. If our nefesh ha-be'emit is behit gabrut, meaning that it's bringing us down. I know we're going to finish soon because we want to do the challah, but our body is built from four elements. The entire world is built from four elements. Fire, water, afar, sand, and air. Everything in this world is built from these four elements. Some things are, you see the element is more powerful, like water. Obviously, water, it's mainly the element of water. Or afar, the sand is mainly the element of afar. But a lot of the things we don't really see. But you look, for example, at a tree. So you see that the element of water is very dominant because the tree has to grow with water. But also the element of fire, because the tree gets burnt, it catches fire right away. But it also has the element of afar, because once it burnt, it becomes ashes. So everything in this world is built from these four elements. Our body is also built from these elements. So when I have a certain mood, it's because one of these elements are what's called behit gabrut. It's empowered. So when I get upset, anger, kaas, and all sorts of emotions of hate comes from the element of fire. If I'm in a state of enjoyment or love, or sharing and stuff like that, comes from an element of water. The water matzmiach et ta'anugim, it enlivens all the pleasures. But when I'm in the mode of being very heavy and sad, that comes from the element of afar. Same way that afar, sand, pulls down. You put now a little bit of sand into a cup of water, the sand always goes down, sinks. So when the element of afar, of sand in me, is behit gabrut, then it pulls me down. Then I'll be depressed and sad and heavy, and I don't feel like going to pray now, and I don't feel like going to do a mitzvah now. Oh, another Shabbos. It's only on my hands to balance it. So I can go forever and ever. Maybe later we'll continue. I know we have to finish for the Afrashat Challah. The bottom line is very, very simple. The essence of our soul is besimcha constantly. When Hashem tells us, "Ivdu et Hashem besimcha," or when it says, "Ekev asher lo avatem et Hashem besimcha v'tuv levav," it's because I didn't give my neshama what I'm supposed to get. A little bit off the subject. Last week we read in the parasha that when a man has a wife, he has to give her three things: she'erak suta ve'onata, her clothing, her food, and marital relations, whenever she wants. This is according to the pshat, to what the Torah says. But the Zohar says, yes, What we're talking about here is your soul. Your soul needs the food. What is the food? Torah. The same way that it's very hard to make a living, in the Torah, money and food is called lechem. The one of the 10 curses that Adam HaRishon got after the sin is bezeat apecha tuchal lechem, that you're going to have to work for your bread. That's why we all have to work hard for our parnasah. The time when Mashiach will come, we're not going to have to work anymore. It's just going to come. So the thing is that the same way that it's hard to get parnasah, it's hard to sit and learn Torah. And women also have to learn Torah. And if the woman cannot learn Torah, she has to push her husband to go and learn Torah. But whoever tells you a woman doesn't need to learn Torah, it's not true. A woman also has, she doesn't have the chiyuv, but if she doesn't have the meniyah, you can't tell a woman, no, you can't learn Torah. Maybe it's not tzenua to learn with men, but go learn with women. So if somebody tells you, no, you are ptura from lilmod, yeah, according to the chiyuv, you don't have the chiyuv, but why not? It's free. Same thing with men. I don't have to wear tzitzit, only if I have a garment that has four corners, then I have to put tzitzit. But I wear tzitzit 24 hours a day because it's a bonus. Why shouldn't I take it? And if a woman wants to be Yirat Hashem, Veishat Hashem, she needs to know. She needs to know basic things, how to do in the kitchen. She needs to know how to raise the kids. She needs to feed her soul with some mystical part. Our generation is very mystical. You have to learn. Women also have to learn some Chassidut, some Zohar. So this is what the Zohar is talking about, the food. The Levush, here it's talking about tzitzit, that a man needs tzitzit. But the same way that a man or a woman needs a garment, our soul needs garments. These garments is our mitzvot. And even though a woman has technically three mitzvot, bread, challah, candles, and family purity, but she has another 500 other mitzvot. She has to keep Shabbat. She has to eat kosher. She has to be tznua. She has to do this. She has to do this. Women have a lot of mitzvot too. These mitzvot, they cover the neshama. These are the garments for the soul. Onata, this goes in the physical level about the marital relation. The Zohar here is talking about, that's for a man, it's talking about Kriyat Shema, how it's important to say it right on time. But corresponding it to the woman, because women are not, they were exempt from any mitzvah that there's a limit of time in it. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter whether a man or a woman, we all have to feed our soul. And when I'm not giving my soul what it needs, I'm basically feeding my animal soul. So if I'm not feeding my soul with Torah and mitzvot and good deeds and Shabbat and guests, everything, I'm feeding my animal soul. So my animal soul is demanding more. So my animal soul is the one who's controlling my thoughts and making these big problems that they're not even problems. They're actually small problems. So every problem that you have, there's two ways. Either it came from Shamayim because that's what it's supposed to be. Because if Hashem gave you a problem, it means that He wants you to overpower it. There's two ways of serving Hashem. Kabbalah calls them hithapcha ve'itkafya. Itkafya means to subdue something, to overpower it. Itapcha is to transform something. Itapcha is the level of a tzaddik. A tzaddik has the power to take something impure and to change it to something pure. To take darkness and to change it to light. We are not tzaddikim yet. So we have the level of itkafya, meaning to subdue something. So if I have some type of issue that I'm dealing with, meaning that Hashem wants me to overpower it, to subdue it, to overcome it. Not to be impressed by it. Chassidut calls it lehitpael, which means that something comes, I'm overwhelmed. Ooh, too hard for me. So the bottom line is that all our problems is we feed these problems, we make them. Why? Because our Yetzer Hara doesn't want us to be besimcha. Because if I'm going to be besimcha, I'm going to serve Hashem exactly how it wants. So that's my michshol, that's what I have to overpower. Which means that if an issue comes my way, it means that I just have to overpower it, and I have the merit that Hashem chose me from billions of people. He chose me to be the one who's doing the shlichut in this world to overpower something. Don't look at it as a burden. Oh, now I have to deal with this issue. No. Hashem gave you a spiritual task. All you have to do is overpower it to unveil this spiritual wrap that it doesn't look so good. And you did Ratzon Hashem. You did the highest level of serving Hashem. This is called Ratzot et Ratzon Hashem. So the essence of our sadness is us feeding our animal soul with poison. If I want to overpower this, I have to feed my soul with what it needs. And by default, when I feed my soul what it needs, my soul will reach its essence to be b'simcha. And then obviously I'll be serving Hashem b'simcha. What is the problem in the Torah that it says Ekev asher lo avatem et Hashem b'simcha v'tov levav? It's Hashem basically telling me, you prevented your soul to worth serving me b'simcha. You fed your soul all sorts of nonsense. That's not fair. So Hashem basically telling you, you want to serve me b'simcha because that is my essence. You have to feed your soul with what it needs. Good deeds, mitzvot, ma'asim tovim, Torah. Then by default, things that look big will look already small. So today is Rosh Chodesh Adar. Mishenichnas Adar, marbim b'simcha. It means that this month has the power of increasing. What does it mean, increasing? It doesn't mean that all day long I'm going to go and dance. Rather, I have the spiritual power. This month, it's almost like, you know, I think last week was President's Day. Every day here, President's Day, Memorial Day, everything is 80% off. There's a sale. So, Chodesh Adar is the sale. Hashem tells you, this month, Simcha is very easy to achieve. So we have like President's Day now. We have a whole month that it's not that I have to increase Simcha so I'm going to turn the music higher and I'm going to go to parties every night. No. The power of Simcha is much more easy to attain. Which means I can much easier work this month to build towards elevating my soul to the level of Simcha. So if it was harder for me before that to be more mehader b'Shabbat, now's your month to tap into it. And if it was much harder for me in previous month to be more modest, more machmir, particular in kosher, more particular here, more particular there, because I had my yetzerah coming, pounding too much, dafka this month you have the power to tap into the power of this simcha. And by that you elevate your soul to its originate state. You're basically curing your soul. And when you cure your soul will get elevated to that level, and by default, you'll be serving Hashem b'simcha. So you should all meditate on the idea that, first of all, I have a whole month now, a whole month of sales, 80% off. I just have to tap into it. Just the power of the month already allows me to tap into it. Last month was the month of Shvat. This is the month of growing. Each month has a different month. Next month will be Nisan. It's a Chodesh HaGeulah. It's a time when I can actually break free, etc., etc. So this month is the month that you have the power to tap in, to reach to the depth of your soul, to enliven it with all its spiritual powers, to raise it to the level that you can bring your soul back to the highest originate state of Simcha. And this is only done by mitzvahs, good deeds, Torah, everything that you can, and by more that you increase it, you're feeding, you're injecting your soul with more and more power. By default, anything that looks bad starts diminishing. You'll see at anyone, any great tzaddik, that in such a high level, he doesn't see the problem in this world as a problem. He says, okay, it's I know another obstacle that I have to, a detour that I have to go around. It just means that Hashem wants me right now to go this way. Or once Hashem wants to see that I'll bring out in me more the power of my bitachon. We are the ones who's building all these problems. So Bezrat Hashem, you should all reach to the level that you can tap into your highest level in your inner part of your soul to reach the highest level of Simcha. And by default, we should all be serving Hashem b'Simcha. And from here, we're going to go to the Chodesh of HaGeulah, Chodesh Nisan. Benisan nigalnu, benisan nigael, we should all be merited right away. Just for the merits, it says, "Bizchut nashim tzadkaniot yatzanu mimitzrayim." Bizchut nashim tzadkaniot nitzega ma'agula hazot. Also from this galut, we're going to leave. So, you know, it's all in your hands. have to increase in modesty, lashon hara, everything that you can add a little bit more, closing the gates to your body, then you elevate yourself and you enlightening your soul to reach the highest level. Bezrat Hashem, I wish you great success. Rosh Chodesh Tov, take advantage of this Chodesh. We're going to do the Afrashat Chala, I'll go out. Then you can call me. If you want, we can do some questions and answers or continue with another topic.